All right, welcome to our Planning and Community Development Committee meeting on Monday, September 18th, 2023. I am Kathy Hogarty. I am the chair. I'm joined by fellow council members Deshaun Quinn and Tom McLeod. I am attending remotely, so my apology if I talk over people or something like that, because it's a little harder to take visual cues, like I was saying when I was off camera, when you are not in the room. All right, so we'll start with an amendment to the interlocal agreement regarding the CDBG program with Stacey Hansen. Thank you, Stacey.
Good evening, everyone.
Council member, I am not going to vote on this item. That's it.
Would you like to stay in? Are you'll stay in the room? Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm fine with staying in the room.
Would you like to remark on it, or would you like to just listen?
I'm just going to listen.
Okay, thank you. All right, so go ahead, Stacey.
Thank you. And this is a our King County Interlocal Cooperation Agreement. And in order to be a participant in CDBG funding, which is Community Development Block Grant funding, we belong to this agreement along with several other cities. And every few years, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, who's the full funder of the program, has some very specific requirements and language that they wanted to see in our amendment this year. It is part of the body of the work that we have been doing. It is reviewed annually for by King County to ensure we're in contract compliance for HUD. And so this is just adding that language into the actual amendment, which was a requirement this year for HUD. Even though they know we're doing this in practice, they want to ensure that it isn't written into our interlocal agreement. And you will see the additional requirement from HUD that we have in our interlocal with King County, and it is in bright yellow. And so that is the section that what we were asked to add, and it doesn't change how we do business. It's just basically adding the requirements, the required language into the interlocal agreement. And we have a really short time frame, unfortunately. Our partners at King County had been working diligently with HUD to come up with language, and so they needed to have this agreement submitted to HUD, signed by all the participating cities in a very reduced time frame. So I'm asking if we can take this agreement and move it forward to consent so that we can make HUD's deadline of the 28th of this month, so that we don't forfeit any funding for our area, because all partners have to be have this signed, and it has to be in the county's hands so the county can send it to HUD by the 28th so that we don't lose funding.
Just some clarification. It's on unfinished business, not on consent. So someone needs to recuse themselves, because it's on unfinished business for tonight's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Councilmember McLeod, comments?
A couple of questions. The grant amount is the same amount?
The grant changes every year because we apply for funding every year. The city of SeaTac is the lead city, and so it is could be anywhere from $90,000 to about $110,000 that is split between the four partner cities that participate in the minor home repair program.
Okay, but it's going to be reasonable to what we've had in.
Oh, very, yes, very similar. Yes.
And then in the yellow, it talks about some lower income housing assistance activities. What are those activities?
Some of the funding is bigger than what we do as a pass-through city. So some cities are entitlement cities are allocated a specific pot of funds for home, for shelter. It's a specific program called HOME, and bigger programs than what we have. So for us, it just really is directly related to CDBG for the minor home repair program. So that impacts other cities who are who receive more funding than we do.
And so we're already doing these activities.
As everybody who receives CDBG funding has to do these activities, and our partners at King County ensure that we're in compliance with them.
But to add the language, we were already doing this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a housekeeping thing.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I have no further questions. I'm in support.
Thank you.
All right. And I have no further questions as well. So Councilmember McLeod, are we in consensus to take this and put it on the new business tomorrow night? Tonight.
Well, unfinished business.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for the record for saying that.
And my answer is yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stacy. Appreciate that. You'll have it on unfinished business tonight. And so we can move on to the next item, which is the TMCC Chapter 21.04, updating SEPA thresholds. Nora Gerla, the Community Development Director.
Hello, good evening. So this is something that we've been talking about for a while. It was part of a package of process improvements and streamlining that we talked about a year ago. Took a little doing because there's some paperwork and some steps that we need to go through, but it's ready for your action now. So basically, State Environmental Policy Act requires that jurisdictions go through an environmental review of any decisions that they make. And there are certain things which are always exempt or exempt under certain circumstances or areas where we have some flexibility within a certain range of construction. And so jurisdictions have developed more robust environmental regulations over the years, Ecology has raised those thresholds to allow cities to decide what's right for their city. So looking at this for Tukwila and how we've used SEPA in the past, almost always we're issuing determinations of non-significance. We very rarely need to condition a project through SEPA in order to address an environmental impact. We have pretty good regulations. There are a lot of fail-safes in terms of our environmental regulations. SEPA is generally kind of to catch things that would fall through the gaps. And there just aren't many things that fall through the gaps anymore because we do have either city, state, regional kinds of regulations around the things that happen. So we're seeing that it wasn't really adding a lot of value, but it was taking time both on the part of staff and the part of applicants. So our suggestion is that we raise our thresholds to the highest levels that are allowed under the state rules. And as part of that, we did an analysis. We walked through, what would change, how are we regulating all of these different elements of the environment, like what parts of our code would do that, and then also looking at how it would affect public notice and comment opportunities. And, the answer that I came to was that there's really very little substantive change that would happen under this. And so we did that work. We sent it out to our agencies of interest, to Ecology, to the tribes, to give everyone a chance to kind of look at our work and see whether they agreed. And we wound up not getting any comments that anyone thought there was something that we should address or a threshold that we should pick differently. So now I'm here tonight, and I'm hoping that we can move this forward to a hearing next week and also look forward to adoption. Happy to answer any questions.
Oops, you're on mute.
Yeah, I muted myself because there's a lot of noise going on outside. Councilmember Quinn, questions or comments?
So, one, I noticed that I just remember this the last time we had it, and I remember the questions we asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have one question, but more of a reflection, right? Is this proposal is something we're seeking because the thresholds were allowed to be raised. One. Two, data has informed us that among the varying regulations, it captures whatever we would have intended to capture in all these spaces. And we've done some more kind of data surfacing to say, hey, this was accurate until the approach was to take it forward. And then I think there was one more thing. And we presented it to the agencies that would likely, if they have issues, they would. And so what was that time frame between what we proposed and?
It's a 60-day comment period.
Okay.
To all of those interested parties.
Okay. And the only thing I didn't understand, and this was on the Manufacturing Industrial Center plan appeal, when it talked about the comprehensive plan and we had to kind of reintroduce it. So are we updating it? Are we updating the manufacturing piece in the comp plan? Or are we saying that this section is as originally written is no longer relevant?
Yeah, I should have gotten into some of the other amendments to this. So there's two areas that have special regulations under CEPA. One was the Manufacturing Industrial Center, where they'd done a bunch of work in the 90s. The issue is that the studies that that was based on are really out of date, and Boeing hasn't really prioritized keeping that up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And so my suggestion is just that we can't, with a straight face, exempt them from CEPA based on these 30-year-old studies, but they can take advantage of the higher thresholds that we'll be adopting. And then the other one was the South Center area, where there was kind of a time-limited window where we were able to do some work and get a special exemption. If we wanted to continue that exemption, there are a bunch of additional sort of strings and studies that would be required, and it didn't really seem worth it when we could get almost all the way there with just the flexible thresholds. So, and then there's just some naming changes where we used to say environmentally sensitive areas, now we say environmentally critical areas, right, and just some housekeeping type stuff.
And we've done that in the past. And so one last question on this one, because I know for a while, especially in this time and since then, Boeing had someone that was identified for us to work with, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
That person is no longer the same person because the person works here.
Right.
Is there someone at Boeing that this, we could flag for this and articulate what it means to, you know, and explain it in a format to say, hey, the thresholds have raised, so,
yeah,
you know, it's probably a small amount that could impact.
So luckily we have a Boeing employee as our business community representative on the Planning Commission, so we have really great communication with him. And so I've talked with him as well as his boss, Shannon, and so he was one of the groups that we reached out to with these proposed amendments.
Thank you. Yeah. And I mean, we may want to put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just so the question didn't get asked. That's why we have a committee. It's going to be up here and then, because otherwise, like getting in the weeds and unraveling and interpreting, I think it's just the same as our partner agency. We did the same thing with our neighbor's businesses who helped establish the original and now. And that's all I have. But, you know, let's see if my other fellow council members agree with that, because I'm just like Catherine.
Okay.
You're on mute.
Thank you, Councilmember McLeod.
So I do see where there's a housekeeping nature to this, which makes a lot of sense. I like what Sean brought up. Those were good points. As I read through this here, I just kept falling back on kind of the housekeeping nature of it, and it made sense. The only question that I had, I'd asked you ahead of time, but for the record, what's the opposition to this?
Mm-hmm.
Who or why would somebody be opposing what we're going to do here?
I mean, it is an added layer. I feel like it's really kind of belt and suspenders, given the fact that we do have good regulations. And it's not to say that every project that comes in is perfect. It's just that we use other regulations instead of CEPA to address any shortcomings environmentally. And we just haven't found the need, haven't found the gap that we need CEPA to plug in recent years.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with it. Chair, you can unmute yourself.
I did this time. Thank you for reminding me. And thank you for your questions. I had a question. I think that on page 8, we've seen this table before, and I think I've asked this question, unless I'm thinking of something else. So the threshold for the single family less than 1,500 square feet only goes to 30 instead of 100, and I can't remember why that was. There was a reason, though, and I couldn't remember what it was.
So currently we don't have a distinction between single family and single family limited to 1,500 square feet. So it's not something that appears in our code at the moment. And the other thing is I can't imagine, maybe Tukwila South, you could get a single family development of more than 30 houses, but really they're, I don't think we've seen a full subdivision of 10 or more units in quite a while. There just isn't the space. So it just didn't really seem that relevant to our development types that we see in the city. Certainly, you could put it up there.
That's what I was thinking. Is you said that it would be unlikely that we would go above 30 units. Mm-hmm. I think that was we've had this discussion, but I don't remember when it was. Maybe a year ago. So, all right, Councilmember Quinn. You were asking to have some things put in the record, and could you restate that? It seemed reasonable, but if you could.
Yeah. Happy to. So on the section related to manufacturing industrial center plan action repeal, it talks about the partnership with Boeing, and we're proposing it to be repealed with the threshold raised. And the addition would be, we not only shared this with the partner agencies, but we also shared it with a contact at Boeing, so they're informed that this proposal is coming forward, and they understand. And we got we were able to have a conversation with them about what it means.
I notified them at the beginning of the notice period, and then we also met again last week, I believe.
So we could request that just usually our minutes are summary minutes, so we could just request that that's noted in the minutes if that was the request. Okay. Yeah.
I was saying in the memo. Yeah.
In the memo.
Yeah, because then that way it avoids the question being asked. That is the beauty of committee, is that you can help alter the memo based on information. And it's relevant. It's a relevant point. Good. To address proactively.
I can certainly turn that around.
Under the recommendation, my regular meeting is holding up my iPad, so I can't look at it. Is this coming up tonight? I have the recommendation here. You return with the draft ordinance. So is that on the regular meeting? Don't laugh at me, Councilmember Quinn.
No, that was Tom. We were just saying it's in the memo.
Under recommendation.
Yes. We're scheduled for the hearing next week.
Okay.
Next week.
So there is an opportunity to put a little bit more language in the memo. That's really what we get. And Councilmember McLeod, you stopped laughing at me too, so. All right, do we have consensus for all that to happen?
Yeah.
Along with the request, which staff is fine with. So is that right, Director?
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
Just more. Right. Thank you. I'm sorry. I froze up, so it's just so much nicer being in the room. But anyway, okay, so are we are all set with this topic. Thank you. And is there any miscellaneous from anyone in the room? No miscellaneous.
I have a miscellaneous, but it has to do with some of the court decisions as it relates to some of the rental stuff, and so I'm just wondering at a time in the future, maybe we can think about what makes sense about when we revisit some of the things that we put forward,
mm-hmm.
because there has been some clear court decisions that were pretty clear about drawing the line between municipal authority and state as it relates to
that. That would be good.
Yeah, a topic regarding the impacts now or current impact or future impacts. All right. Okay, so staff, you've made a note of that, that it'll be addressed at the time that seems logical. Got the comp plan coming up, or in process, actually. So, okay. All right. If there are no other comments or questions, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.